Dead or alive, you're coming with me.
Wendy, I'm home.
I promise to last.
That's what made you.
I lied.
Sexy vampire time then. So, hi everybody. Welcome to Movies to Drink To, and today is Twilight Day.
Yay.
Yay. This is a request, a listener request. I basically said, I promise we'll do it by the end of the year.
And here we are.
Nearly at the end. It's like, damn it, I think we've put it off as much as we can. We're going to have to watch Twilight.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen this before?
Once, a long time ago.
Yeah,
I think
same.
When it first came out.
Yeah, same. Well, not long after it first came out.
I was going out with a girl years back, Lizzie, and she made me go and see, I think it was the first half of the last two films, and I slept through the entire thing.
Oh yeah, they did a part one and part two, didn't they? Yeah. Anyway, Twilight from 2008. Based on the book by Stephanie Myers.
I
think this is because Harry Potter was popular. They were like, what other tween book series can we make into films?
Yeah.
Yes.
Something like that. There was definitely a niche market for this at the time. Well, not even a niche market. There was a huge market for this at the time.
And directed by Catherine Hardwicke, who also made 13 and Lords of Dogtown. Mm. Those are good films.
Which are good films, yeah.
It stars Kristen Stewart, Robert Pattinson, Billy Burke, Taylor Lautner, and others. The plot of this film beeth.
The plot beeth. When Bella Swan moves to a small town in the Pacific Northwest, she falls in love with Edward Cullen, a mysterious classmate who reveals himself to be an 108-year-old pedophile vampire.
Yeah, that's a little awkward.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely a huge moral quandary in this film.
There is indeed. We'll get into it. So, our story begins with an emo diary entry. I never given much thought to how I'd die, but dying in the place of someone I love seemed like the way to go. This is Bella, by the way.
Yeah.
And it goes on and on.
Then I never much thought to how I would die until this movie started.
Yes. And then we get some Evil Dead camera action.
Yep.
A lot of that throughout this film, by the way.
Yeah.
There is a lot of
wacky... But it's like a poor version.
The camera basically just flies all over the fucking place.
Yes.
A lot throughout this film. It's a deer is being chased through the woods, but with Evil Dead camera work.
Yeah.
Yeah. That. Okay. Then we get more emo voiceover from Bella. So basically, she's left Phoenix to live with her dad, because her mum and new husband just want to go on some sort of extended vacation or something.
Yeah, her mum's just got remarried and now has no time for her.
Yeah. Like, they basically say, like, yes, they wanted to hit the road.
Yeah. So we're going to go off and have fun. You're old enough now.
Yeah.
Like, to stop ruining my life.
So she's heading to Washington State, that is.
Yeah.
Where it's miserable and the weather is terrible. It's a bit like England.
It's very lush and green, though.
Yes, it is. I've been there. It's lovely.
But yeah, weather-wise, it's pretty much here.
Yeah. To a town called Forks. Population 3,120. By the way, this is a real place.
Yes.
With a real population of about 3,000.
Cool. Forks. It's just, apparently that was going to be the original name of the book.
Really?
Like, yeah, Stephanie Myers, like, originally it was called Forks, and her publisher was like, no.
For Forks' sake.
Yeah.
And her dad, Charlie, he's there. He's the chief of police, of course.
Yeah.
Because
why not?
Yeah, it's always the chief of police.
Yeah, I know.
My dad's the chief of police.
My dad's a deputy. My dad's a traffic policeman.
So she arrives at her dad's place, and her and her father stand around awkwardly.
Yeah, there's a lot of awkward.
Yeah, but even her and her dad, they're just sort of standing there. It's like, so anyway, I'll see you later.
Yeah, dad's like, I'm really pleased you're here to involve yourself in my life.
Yes, this is Billy Burke's character. And outside of her dad's house, Jacob, Taylor Lautner, has arrived with his wheelchair-bound father, Billy Black.
Yes.
Yes. So it turns out Bella's dad has bought her a new a pickup truck.
Yeah,
right?
I thought he was going to say new.
Yeah, I nearly did. It's not.
It's a shit tip.
He's bought her a pickup truck, right? And Jacob has rebuilt the engine as part of this.
Yeah.
Bella is super happy with this, but doesn't say thank you or even acknowledge her father. She seems to act as if Jacob has built the thing from scratch for her.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, we had to pause for a moment. If you're watching this on video, there's an issue with the camera stand. So if we start getting out of frame, it's because it's syncing for some reason.
Yeah. If you're listening to this on just audio, doesn't matter.
Don't worry. Yeah, don't worry yourself. It's fine. God, that's annoying.
Anyway.
Where'd we get to? Oh, so Jake has rebuilt the engine of the dad of the truck that her dad bought.
The engine of the damned.
of the truck that her dad bought her, but she's just more interested in Jacob and the sort of they hang out in the
yeah. And he's like we used to hang around and make mud pies.
Great.
Yeah. It's a euphemism for
anal.
Yeah.
So she drives off to school. Jacob, by the way, doesn't go to her school. He goes to school on the reservation because they're Native American.
Yes.
The Blacks. That's the name of the family.
Sorry.
That's the name of the family.
Cancelled.
That's the name of that. Fuck you. Throughout, by the way, Bella's stupid voiceover keeps coming up and reading diary entries. It's really annoying.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't add anything.
No, it's not like it's not even a narration. It's like it's supposed to be like an insight into her thoughts and stuff, and it just comes. It's very emo.
Yes,
it's like
yes.
Horrendously emo.
Arriving at school, Bella is greeted by the popular kids in the car park, who make snide comments about her because she's new and, you know, like different,
yeah,
but also really hot. She's then greeted by Eric, the neediest and loneliest boy on the planet.
Absolutely. This kid's V plates are definitely like well and truly padlocked on.
Like, yes. It's like if you brush past him, he's like, oh.
Yeah. He's like, I can be your shoulder to cry on.
Yes, he literally says that. Then we head over to volleyball, and Bella is really bad at sports.
Well, yeah, this whole setup thing, which is kind of important later, that she's really uncoordinated and terrible, and this is highlighted by her ineptitude at volleyball.
Yes,
but this is also where we meet the real hero of this story, Anna Kendrick.
Yeah. Bella manages to hit a boy on the other side of the gym in the back of the head with the ball. This is Mike.
Yes, who's Mike? The most annoying.
I mean, I like Mike.
Annoying. Have you noticed he's always like his hands like are everywhere. He's always like finger gunning and shit like that. It's so annoying.
It was the 2000s when he was a teenager. Mike doesn't mind that she hit him in the head with a volleyball somehow, because she's hot, which is fair enough. And then Anna Kendrick shows up.
Yay!
As Jessica. Do you like? You're into that?
I love Anna Kendrick.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Not so much me.
No.
But never
mind. It's all right to be wrong.
If you're in a buck teeth.
Do not have buck. Do not talk about Anna Kendrick.
Then at lunch, Bella sits with Mike and Eric and Jessica. Oh, and there's another one whose name I never got.
Is this the girl?
Yeah,
with the glasses. This is Christian Serratos. She plays Rosita in The Walking Dead.
Yeah, but who's she playing this?
I don't know. Because they've kind of nerded her up by giving her glasses.
I don't think they ever mention her name, do they?
No, I think they do. She ends up later on. It doesn't matter. Yeah. She's supposed to be like the class nerd. And she, like, by the time she becomes Rosita in The Walking Dead, she has changed quite dramatically.
What?
When she's Rosita, is very, very hot.
Right, okay.
Like, whereas this like younger Christian Serratos is like kind of a bit gangly and weird.
But we still don't know her name.
No.
No.
Christian.
Gotcha.
Or Kristen.
Kristen. Kristen Another Serratos. Kristen. Bella seems to actually be pretty popular, especially with the boys, right off the bat. You got Eric and Mike. Oh, and Tyler, the jock.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're all over her. They love her. Mm. And then the Cullens arrive.
The obvious vampires.
The Cullens are the foster kids of Dr. and Mrs. Cullen. They're all anemic and have been raised to walk in slow motion.
Yeah. Everywhere. It takes them days to get everywhere. Like, it's wind, like there's some sort of wind through the cafeteria now that wasn't
there
a second ago.
And all this music starts playing whenever they arrive. Like, yeah. What's that music? Oh, the Cullens must be coming.
The vampires are here.
In slow motion. Like, you know, class started 7 minutes ago. Where have you been? You've got Rosalie and Emmett Cullen. They're banging each other. Remember, these are all supposed to be foster kids.
Foster
like adopted.
Kids. Yeah. Raised, as far as anyone's aware, they've been raised as siblings.
Yes.
So they're all banging.
Yes. You've got Rosalie and Emmett. They are banging each other. We've also got Alice. She's really weird, apparently. Mm. And she's with Jasper, who is the strangest looking man on the planet.
He looks like he's shit himself.
He does.
Right, through the whole film, he's constantly like... Like he's just tried to silently fart and followed through.
He's just eyes wide all the time, like ooh. And Alice and Jasper, they're together, and when I say together, I mean like they walk around school holding hands.
Yeah.
And everyone in school is like, that's weird.
Which it kind of is.
It is weird.
I mean, like, I know they're not blood relatives, but like if you're sort of brought up as siblings,
yeah.
They shouldn't I don't know how it works.
And then Edward Cullen enters and all the girls fancy Edward.
Yeah.
He takes a seat in the cafeteria and then he just stares at Bella like he hates her.
Glares, yeah. It's proper like...
Stink eye.
Yeah.
Proper stink eyes. Yeah. Bella then heads to a biology class and walks in front of a strategically placed fan right by the door.
And suddenly she's in slow motion as
well. Yes. Edward, who's also in the class... sees her hair softly blow in the wind, and then he kind of shits his britches.
He looks
what
like he's about
here?
To vomit. He's just literally looks up, like makes eye contact, and it's like,
yeah, it's like, but he's all like sort of nervous, sat there hunched over, and then he kind of goes eyes wide, like, whoa, are you okay, son? Did you just shit yourself? What happened? The idea is that he's just got a whiff of Bella.
Yeah.
Because of the fan.
Her terrible BO.
Yes.
Like her hygiene is less than desirable.
This obviously makes Bella very self-conscious. And she's seated next to Edward as well.
Stinky Bella.
Edward then looks at her like he's about to bath. And he continues to stare at her for way too long, bro. Throughout the entire hour of the class.
But it's like literally like somebody's just dumped an old fucking bin bag next to him. Like this is like festering and flies coming out of it. He's like... just like fucking constantly like he's just going to immediately chunder all over himself.
As soon as class is over, he jumps out of his seat and runs away. Bella then spots Edward trying to get out of studying biology. When he's told he can't, he says, fine, I'll just have to endure it. Yeah. And he storms off past Bella. Any normal person would confront this immediately.
Yeah, like, but she doesn't.
What
she
is your up. Fucking problem?
To be fair, I mean, this is what high school was like for me constantly. Just all the unwanted female attention, constantly having to change. This wasn't like that at all.
Weren't you known as the sweaties?
I was in the middle of the trendies and the sweaties.
Okay.
The sweaties were like the metalers, for context. Like, not a group of people that didn't wash.
So you weren't cool enough for either.
I was kind of the outcast. I'd just constantly follow both groups around, hope one of them would talk to me. Ow, this is bringing up too much.
High school sucks. After school, I assume, Bella is at a diner with her dad, and the waitress comments on how gorgeous she is.
Yeah.
Everyone is into this weird, pale girl. Like creepy Waylon.
Oh, is that his name? Waylon. I just put
the bald
creepy
guy.
Dude who goes, do you remember when I used to play Santa till the police stopped me?
Yeah. Do you remember I had quite an impact on you when you were a kid, remember?
Yeah, you cried for days.
Okay, Waylon.
That's gone down again.
I know. After he fucks off, Bella waves a ketchup bottle over her food like a baby with a rattle. What is going on here? Did you spot this?
No,
she
I didn't.
Literally, let's say this box of matches is the ketchup. It's just like...
Well, nothing comes out.
No.
Like, did she think she's picked up the salt?
Maybe. And you're like, you're watching it like, I'm sorry, Kristen Stewart, you've eaten before, right? You know how to act. Like, are you an alien? What is this? Is this how you catch up?
Some food now.
At home that night, Bella is on the phone to her mum, and they say nothing interesting at all.
No.
That's end of scene.
At all. I think, is it supposed to establish that her and her mum are quite close or something? They talk about, like, nothing.
Yeah, but like, so close her mum moved to Jacksonville,
Florida. To Jacksonville
Florida.
To get away from her.
The next day, back in school in the car park, and Bella's annoying voiceover tells us that she plans to confront Edward. Yeah, yeah. Right. That's not going to happen. But Edward hasn't shown up for school that day.
No, he's or that repulsed.
Day. Or the next day.
So he's moved.
Or the next day. He basically just stops going to school.
Yep.
All right. We then cut to a blue-collar worker in some of some description being chased through some kind of mill or oil terminal.
Yeah, it looks like the dream sequence in Nightmare on Elm Street. It's one of those, like, yeah. like
there's just pipes and steam
pipes
everywhere.
Pipes and steam,
yeah.
All of that.
He's attacked kind of off-screen, but it's pretty obvious what's happening here.
Yeah.
It's vampires.
Yeah, just in case anybody has not heard of Twilight.
Then we get some shots of the Washington and the woodlands, and we get a shot of the outside of Bella's dad's house at night. Then we cut to the pickup truck pulling up outside in the day.
Yeah.
It's a bit weird. Editing is a bit jumpy. Like, what's going on there? Anyway, Bella's dad explains he's got to go to work because the guard at the old mill got killed by some kind of animal last night.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's quite a few bears, like, wandering around where the big fucking whatever it is. Water fucking that works.
That day at school, Eric and Mike are both trying their best with Bella, but she spotted that Edward is back in his seat in biology class. Ooh. This time he actually says hello, like an alien might if it just heard the word for the first time. Hello? And he introduces himself.
Then they proceed to talk about the weather.
Yes.
It's literally an entire scene where they talk about the weather and how she doesn't like wet things.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's very British because British people talk about the weather a lot.
Because we have nothing else to say.
Yes, and our weather is very erratic. The small talk is unbearable. They talk to each other like two aliens who are pretending to be humans but don't know that the other one is an alien. It's like they're trying to fool each other.
I am
normal. Do you like the water from the sky?
No, I do not like wet stuff, especially in the sky.
And then he just stares.
Yeah. Bella basically pants at him through the whole thing as well. Did you seriously talk about the weather?
What is rain?
She's always touching her hair.
And he's like still trying not to vomit.
Yeah.
They continue their awful, boring conversation after class, and Bella points out that his eyes have changed colour, and Edward gets awkward and walks off.
Yeah.
End of scene. Wow, the chemistry here.
I know, isn't it?
It's like, Patricia Arquette and Christian Slater in True Romance. Like, just straight off the bat, you can tell these two are meant for each other.
To be fair, that's the level of awkward I am. If a girl ever pays me a compliment, I'm like, I must go!
And vomit! Because I smelt you. Outside, Edward is staring at Bella across the car park when Tyler arrives in his van, but he skids on the entrance and is about to crush Bella between his van and her truck, but Edward jumps in and stops the van with just his hand.
Yeah, it's like his Superman moment.
Yep, and then they just stare at each other, and then Edward walks off.
Yeah, he's like, bye.
Doesn't even say bye.
Yeah, it's all very...
He jumps. He's across the other side of the car park. Tyler skids, crashes, and then suddenly he's there.
Yeah.
Very Superman. And all the other kids freak out. Oh, Bella! Fuck! And they call 911. And Bella is taken to hospital despite being completely fine.
Yes.
Tyra is also there, who is not fine, but no one gives a fuck about him.
Yeah, all of the doctor, everyone is paying attention to Bella, who doesn't have a scratch on her. And the kid sat behind with blood
bleeding his face, from his head.
And all he's getting is shit from her dad. Yeah. He's like, I'm going to take your license away. Bleed quietly.
And then Dr. Cullen enters. And walk straight past Tyler.
Yep.
And nothing interesting happens because Bella is totally fine.
He walks straight past Tyler, and in the background, you just hear.
Well, he deserved it.
Yeah.
He skidded on ice. Fucking idiot.
Won't be nearly killing anybody else's daughters, will he?
After that boring scene, in the corridor.
Also, the doctor is also an extremely obvious vampire.
Oh, yes. Also anemic. And,
anemic as fuck. Like, if he walked in, if I was in the hospital and he walked in, I'd be like, can I have somebody that's not unwell?
Someone who's not going to take all my blood.
Yeah.
In the corridor of the hospital, Dr. Cullen and Rosalie are giving Edward some shit because of what he did.
Yeah.
Bella now confronts Edward. about how he got there. Sorry, Bella confronts Edward about how he got there so fast, and he lies to her face. He says, "I was stood right next to you."
No, you weren't. Her.
Yeah. And he's just like, you were on the other side of the car park.
No, I wasn't. You hit your head. You're delirious.
Yeah. You're complete. Yeah. And then he goes as far as to go, no one will believe you.
Yeah.
It's your word against. He just gaslights the shit out of her as well.
She says.
Because, you hit your head. Maybe you're delusional.
She says, "I need to know the truth." And he says, "Can't you just thank me and get over it?"
Yeah. Most people would just say thank you and move on.
That night, Bella wakes to find Edward in her bedroom, but not really. It's a dream. Boring.
But really.
But also kind of really. We'll just find that out later. The next day, back in the car. A lot of this film happens in the car park of the school, by the way.
Yeah, it's a huge part of it.
The next day, back in the car park, Mike is asking Bella to prom, but she's too busy staring at Edward. Mm. She fobs him off and makes some excuse that she's in Jacksonville that weekend.
She's like, "Yeah, you should probably ask Anna Kendrick.
Because she actually wants to go out with you." And I don't.
And she's
Mike.
Hotter.
No, I don't think she is. Anyway, their biology class is off on a field trip to a greenhouse.
To a garden centre.
Exciting!
Welcome to a garden centre. Like, over here we have all the plants and stuff, garden furniture's down that way, and pet's corner.
Yes! garden ornaments. Yeah. Here's like a stone man crawling out the ground. Arr! Yeah. It's a zombie!
The school budget is not what it used to be.
I mean, there's only like, 200 kids in this whole school?
Yeah. And at one point, he's like, "I've made compost tea," and holds up, like, pulls out this shitty water, and some kid grabs it. He's like, "Don't drink it!" It's like, who would?
Stupid people.
Yeah.
On the trip, Edward asks Bella, "What's in Jacksonville?" To which Bella responds, "How'd you know about that?"
Yeah.
Because he was not near. And he says,
"You didn't ask my question."
Which is rude.
Yeah.
What? Yeah. So you were eavesdropping on me, and while I ask you, now you're having a go at me.
Now you're gaslighting again.
Yeah. He then berates her for nearly tripping over.
No, I had to stop the film. I laugh so much. This whole relationship is toxic as fuck from the offset. She literally stumbles, and he's like, "Why can't you watch where you're going?"
Fucking hell.
I love you.
Apparently him being rude is the best way.
Yeah.
That's what he says.
It's so odd.
A bit later, outside the greenhouse, Edward comes up to Bella and he says,
"We shouldn't be friends."
Like, okay, we're not. It's fine.
Treat him mean, Edward.
Yeah.
Treat him mean.
We shouldn't be friends. We're not friends. Yeah. You're an asshole. Jesus. At school the next day, Eric, Mike, Jessica, and the one whose name I don't know, and Tyler, they're all that lot. They invite Bella to go watch The Wave. There's waves coming in.
Yeah, something
at the beach.
Oh, I can't remember. Yeah, they want to go surfing or something, but they keep calling it something annoying.
The Big Push.
The Big Push. That's
it. La Push. And then Edward comes over to talk to Bella, and she says, quote, "Your mood swings are giving me whiplash."
Yeah.
Best, most sensible line of the film. Like, yeah, this is ridiculous.
Yeah. Because he, literally for 5 minutes ago, he's like, "We shouldn't be friends." And now he's like, "Hey, Bella." Yeah.
"I only said it'd be better if we weren't friends. Not that I didn't want to be."
Oh, fuck off. Fucking weirdo.
"I'm just too dangerous for you."
Yeah, and he also says, if
"you were smart, you'd stay away from me."
Yes.
But then why are you here?
Yeah.
He sounds like a fucking internet troll.
Yeah.
Like, it's one of these kind of like, you don't understand how dangerous I am.
This isn't like just textbook everything. Everything about a controlling toxic relationship is exactly what this is. Like, the mind games, gaslighting, everything. Like, it's just
making out that he's like some kind of like dangerous, like, I'm like a coiled spring.
Don't tread on me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm 50% loving and caring and 50% an animal that will kill anything with my bare hands. Yeah.
You just never know when I'm going to strike.
Yeah. Like, okay, yeah, but this guy comes into school in a trench coat and like those wraparound sunglasses and spiked up highlighted hair. Like, okay, dude, we get it. The Matrix was a big movie. Oh, dear. And then he says, another line he says is,
"What if I'm not the hero? What if I'm the bad guy?"
Ooh, you're hard. Anyway, later at the beach with the waves, Jacob arrives with, I guess, his brothers. And it's mentioned that this beach is part of the reservation and that the Cullens don't come here. Like, okay.
Yeah, she asked Edward to come with, didn't she? And he's like, oh, no, it's too crowded.
Yeah, it's too crowded for me. I'm a loner.
I'm a lone wolf.
I'm just going to go home and I'm going to go home and read Edgar Allan Poe by candlelight.
Write poems.
Yeah.
That maybe don't rhyme.
Mood apathetic.
Put
this guy.
Eyeliner on.
Yeah.
Maybe cry.
And bleed a little. Yeah. So later, Jacob and Bella are taking a walk down the beach, and Bella asks, well, what was that all about? So the story goes that apparently the Cullens are descended from an enemy clan, even though they're adopted, but okay. And Jacob's great-grandfather found them hunting on their land. They made a treaty with them that if they promised to stay off their land, they wouldn't expose what they really are to the pale faces. That's us.
Oh, is it?
Pale faces, yeah.
I thought they were the pale faces.
No, they're like the translucent faces. But Jacob says it's just a story. It's just a story.
He also says that his ancestors, like the story is that their ancestors are in, descended from wolves.
Yeah, yeah. Or it's their spirit animal or something
shit
like that. Yeah.
They wear wolf hats.
Yes.
They wear really bad looking wolf hats as well in the flashback. It looks like they bought them from like a tacky, like, what's the word? Souvenir store.
Yeah, all right. So yeah, I don't get it. They're pretending to be adopted kids, but also they're all part of a clan from like hundreds of years ago, and they're banging each other.
Yeah, none of that really makes sense.
And like, are they actually related then?
I don't think so. I think it's just the story goes that they're a clan because they were found kind of together. And
yeah.
Because the Native Americans at the time were big, like all tribes and stuff. There was like, this is another tribe of like carnivores, clearly. Like,
really pale faces.
Yeah, that eat deer.
Yeah. Anyway. Over at a boatyard, creepy Waylon from earlier, he gets attacked by some vampires, but they're not Cullens.
No.
They're just some other vamps.
They, one of which, like, vampire with the dreads, looks like he's just stepped out of, like, an Anne Rice novel.
He
still
does.
Dressed like the vampire Lestat.
Yes. Very, yeah. There's three of them, and they're very Anne Rice.
Not
looking.
Even trying to blend in.
Yeah.
And there's a really annoying effect on this bit as well, because like he hears some noises or whatever, then he starts his boat, the boat starts going, and the girl vampire grabs it and pulls it back, and it goes into this weird blurry effect.
Yeah,
like that. I don't know whether it's supposed to convey speed or something, but then like obviously he's tried to move. He looks around and he sees that this girl is the only person there that could have stopped his boat, and he just goes, "Oh hi."
Yeah. And then a bloke shows up. He's like, "Oh no."
Oh, hi, I used to be Santa.
Why would multiple groups of vampires choose to live here?
I don't know. Like they
it makes no
the
sense.
The story is they're just passing through, but fucking, it's a big place.
But it's like,
why Forks?
I think the idea is that because the weather's so bad, and obviously we'll get to the sunlight thing.
I guess so. Yeah.
But yeah, there's only 3,000 people living in this whole town. Once a couple of them go missing, people are going to know something's up.
Yeah, I know. Move to New York, man.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to know.
Just Seattle.
Yeah.
Just move to Seattle. Anyway, the next day or whenever, back at school, Bella is looking miserable, as always, and Jessica just says, "He's not here. Whenever the weather is nice, the Cullens disappear, which must be difficult if you're a doctor and meant to be in school."
Yeah.
How'd they get away with this? Yeah. Like, oh shit, it's sunny today. Yeah, I can't come into work. But you're the only doctor in town!
Yeah, this is suggesting that this area's summer is, like, merely days long. Like, yeah. Just to come, like, worse than here. Like, it's because, yeah, it's every time the sun's out, they're not about.
Yeah.
And then she goes, oh, like, what do you mean? Like, goes, oh, no, well, they just take them out of school and go hiking and camping. No, what school would allow that?
Yeah. Doesn't make, yeah, the, you know, the town's doctor, or one of.
Yeah.
So you can just, because you can't predict the weather that far in advance. So just at a drop of a hat, yeah, I'm not going to be in work tomorrow and I'm taking my kids out of school.
And you imagine, like, the height of summer as well, there's going to be, like, I imagine there is a tourist, like, element to this place and stuff, because it's quite a nice area.
Yeah.
Like, there's stuff, like, surely, like, car accidents, all that kind of thing is going to be much higher during the summer that. So yeah, you're gonna need your head D, head MD,
MD Van,
Dr. Drac,
Jessica, and the other girl, whose name I still don't know. They go shopping for prom dresses, and Bella tags along and then ditches them to go to a bookstore to buy a book about Native American legends and stuff.
Yeah.
While leaving the bookstore, she gets accosted by a bunch of local drunks, and they start harassing her, like, you know, in the rapey way.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like in the rapey way that they do in the movies, where they just kind of push her to one another and go, hey girl, why don't you make yourself comfortable?
Huh? Yeah. You want to go on a date with me?
Yeah. Hey, what you got in there?
Oh, dear. But then Edward appears in a car to save her, and he growls at them or some shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just
glares at them, makes a noise, and they all go, ooh, don't want to rape him.
And they drive off, and Edward talks tough in the car.
Yeah.
Kind of like a, you wouldn't like me when I'm angry. Sort of car.
Dude, distract me, talk to me so I don't go back there and give them what for.
I'll pull their heads off with my bare hand.
Shit down their neck. I would, you know.
Bella has missed dinner with her friends, so Edward suggests that they get something to eat. So they sit down in a restaurant, but obviously Edward doesn't eat, so it's pretty weird right off the bat.
Yeah, he's like, I'm on a special diet.
Edward continues to be annoying with his cryptic non-answers to her questions. Eventually, Edward reveals that he can read minds apart from Bella's.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. I'd never invade your privacy like that.
Mm-hmm. Everyone else, though. It's like, yeah, sex, money. I mean, that's not reading minds. That's just purely guessing. Yeah. Cat.
Dog. Food.
Yeah.
Yep, we are in a restaurant.
I can tell you exactly what that guy's thinking. This plate of spaghetti looks good.
And he also drops lines such as, I don't have the strength to stay away from you anymore. Oh my god, the eye rolling you have to do watching this.
It's also at this point that I've noticed that Kristen Stewart's facial expression is pretty much the same in every scene.
Yeah, it's like, just mouth breathing.
So bad.
Whilst driving, Bella and Edward inadvertently touch, and she notices that he's cold, like dead cold.
Is that a...
You're cold. Put the heating on.
Have you seen that Auntie Donna?
No.
Oh, there's a sketch they do where they keep accidentally touching hands. It just like they're like, oh, and stare at each other, and then it just gets sillier and sillier as it goes on. Couldn't stop thinking about that. But yeah, it's this whole like thing. They're so fucking stupid.
I touched you. Yeah, and he's icy to the touch.
Because I'm dead, bitch.
They pass the boatyard where, you know, Waylon was killed or attacked, but he's dead. And both Bella's dad and Dr. Cullen are there because Waylon is dead by animal attack. Wink, wink. Bella's dad gives her some pepper spray because, you know.
Because that fends off bears.
Yes.
It's like, this would make me feel better. Something tells me that her dad knows this isn't bears.
Just as she's leaving, they wheel Waylon's dead body out past her, and then she suddenly has visions of Edward. What? Yeah. For some reason?
Yeah, she's suddenly struck by thoughts of Edward. Like,
yeah, after Waylon's corpse is wheeled out past her, oh, does this... I'll tell you now, it goes nowhere.
No.
It doesn't mean anything.
No.
She never has this again.
Not at all.
And Edward didn't kill him.
Yeah.
But... What?
It's all like sort of, again, like very Anne Rice-y sort of like flash, like the visions in her mind of like Edward bent over.
Like a harpsichord playing.
Yeah.
Drinking a busty woman's blood on the chaise lounge whilst he's got big sideburns and
ruffled collars.
But anyway, she goes home and she reads about legends and shit. She basically just Googles vampires.
Yeah. And
she's like, hey, I think that guy might be a vampire.
Doesn't barely even reads the book she just spent so much money on or whatever. Like, she's just like, vampires. As if all of this stuff comes up, like, that everyone knows.
Yeah.
So what is a vampire? Oh, my God.
So, yeah, she goes and spends this money on this book, opens up and goes, huh. And then goes to a computer.
Remembers the internet exists.
The next day, Bella and Edward go for a walk in the woods, and Bella basically confronts him about being a vampire, and she says, "How old are you?" He says, 17. And she says, "How long have you been 17? And he says, "A while." Oh. Like, what?
Yeah.
Wait a minute, is this legal?
Yeah, no, none of this. I mean, I don't know how this works with, like, the legality of this. It's kind of a grey area, I feel.
Yeah, I
if
mean,
he's physically 17, which he's not, by the way. He's physically about 28.
You can say he has the mind of a 17-year-old, but I guess he doesn't.
No, he doesn't have the mind. He has the mind of a 108-year-old.
Yeah,
because he's lived 108 years.
He knows how to manipulate women. He's learned this. Yeah.
He's like the king of gaslight. Wait, he's not even very good at it.
So it is revealed that he is a vampire. And then he gives her a piggyback up to the top of the mountain, because apparently she needs to see what he looks like in the sunlight. Okay.
Yeah.
This is why we don't... Hang on. This is why we don't show ourselves in the sunlight. People would know we're different because we sparkle.
We're fucking glittery.
Yeah, so he stands in the sun, and when the sunlight hits him, he sparkles. "You see, I act all weird and mysterious, but in reality, I'm fabulous."
Yeah, exactly that. It's like fucking just trying to explain how
it's
dangerous.
It's a disco ball.
It's like, oh, I'm like an apex predator. No, no, no. Glitter, glitter.
Bella remarks that he's beautiful, and Edward replies, "This is the skin of a killer."
You look like you just woke up after a night in a gay bar.
Yeah. Like, no, it's not. The disco strangler, maybe.
Yeah. Disco stews. I'm going to bite your neck.
Yeah. You look like, yeah, what is this? Why is he sparkling?
Yeah, I don't know. I've never read the books, so I don't know how it comes across in the book.
Yeah.
But this
usually
is dumb as fuck.
Yeah, usually in, you know, most vampire lore, vampires just die in sunlight.
Yeah.
Whereas these ones sparkle.
Yeah, we can't go out in the sunlight because we're like a disco ball.
Yeah. And everyone will be like, ugh.
Yeah. Oh, turn it off.
Edward then prances around and shows off his powers. "Look how strong I am." "Want to see me jump from that tree? Watch me." Bella is super into this. And also, he also just flexes, like, "I've killed people." She's like, "I don't care. Bang me."
Oh, yeah, this thing gets his chest out, does a bit of glittering. He jumps, keeps jumping about, and he throws like a little tree. It's not even a big tree. Yeah. It's like a little tree.
"Look how strong I am, babe."
And he's like, "Yeah, look." And she's like constantly like, "Oh, I don't care. You don't scare me." And he's like, "I've killed people." She's not bothered.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, "I want to kill you." Still not bothered.
Yeah. Then there's another line. "I hate you for making me want you."
Yeah. Like, you're my own personal heroine.
The dialogue in this, well, the whole film, but this scene in particular is so fucking cringy. I want to die watching. I was honestly LOLing.
Yeah.
Like, just like, oh my God, is this real?
I mean, this whole scene, I was like, we are just privy to what Bella's kink is, basically, at the moment. He's like, "I could crush your neck." And she's like, "Do me."
Then they lie on the ground and they look at each other.
Oh, emo.
End of scene.
Yeah, this, the whole thing's vomit-inducing.
Yeah.
Like, they lie down, stare at each other. Like, and the way, like, as the camera pans up, like, the way, like, Pattinson Edward is lying does not look comfortable at all. It's just kind of, like, fucking weird. It's
yeah.
A weird position.
Back at Bella's house, she's in bed, and her annoying voiceover tells us three things she was positive of. Number one.
HIV.
Edward was... Number one, Edward was a vampire. Number two, there were parts of him, and I don't know how dominant that part may be, that thirsted for my blood. Number three, I was unconditionally and irrevocably... How do you say that word?
Irrevocably?
Irrevocably.
Irrevocably.
Irrevocably. Irrevocably. I was unconditionally and irrevocably in love with him.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, she's just like, yeah, he's a vampire. He definitely wants to kill me, but he's so pretty.
I love him. Unconditionally. Like, where? You're 17.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, it's very emo. Yeah, it's very, yeah. The next day, Bella arrives at school with Edward. OMG.
Yeah, they're the new big thing on campus.
Yeah. It's also revealed that Dr. Cullen, Carlisle, he only turns people that were dying into vampires.
Yeah, people that have no other choice.
Yes,
I think
but that. You don't have to be dying to be turned.
No.
Okay, remember that. And it was revealed Carlisle turned him, Edward, in 1918 when he was dying of Spanish influenza. He also turned his wife
COVID.
And the others. Yeah. So Edward is 108.
Yes.
Why would you still go to school?
I think they try to explain that a bit later on, like something about like just because they appear, just to keep up appearances, basically.
Yeah, but you have to go to school
forever.
Forever.
Yeah.
Surely you'd be like, I know all this.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing more to learn. You get bored of it.
You couldn't keep leaving school and then turning up and going, oh no, that was my dad who was here before. So I look exactly like him.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Why would you just keep going to school? Unless you just have a thing for high school women.
Which he clearly does, yeah. As an 108-year-old man. Apparently, they're quite nomadic most of the time, but they've recently, because it's suggested they've recently come back,
Forks,
but they're talking about settling there.
Yeah.
Again, that makes no sense, because how would you?
Yeah. Like I said, it's only a town of 3,000. Everyone knows everyone here.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's not going to work.
It's like everybody that's seen them around like all their lives are now like 90 years old, like shuffling along the road, and Dr. Cullen's like, morning!
Also, they don't all have the same powers. So
no.
Edward can read minds. Alice, one of the other vampires, what, she can see the future.
See the future, but it's like one possible future.
Yeah. She's like the Flash or something, I don't know. And the others, we just don't mention their powers. Emmett and Jasper and Rosalie. Rosalie's superpower, actually, she's a massive bitch.
she's not keen on Bella.
No. Sometime later, Edward decides to take Bella to meet the rest of the Cullens at their house, but he has to leave quickly because the Blacks arrive. The family, the Blacks. Not a bunch of black people.
Jesus Christ.
And they give each other looks as they pass, like they don't like each other.
Oh, to go back a bit. Edward's telling her about his family and stuff, he goes, "We see ourselves as vegetarians." That is not
yes.
how that works.
So yeah, the Cullens don't kill people.
They
drink the blood of animals.
Yeah, which makes them vegetarians in their minds, apparently.
Yeah, the vampire That's veggies or whatever.
Delusional.
Yeah, so they're like they're
people are vegetables.
They're somewhat
animals vegetables.
They're somewhat humane vampires.
Yeah.
That's kind of the thing. They're not totally bad. Okay. Sure. Whatever. So, over at the Cullen house, which has to be the most disappointing vampire house ever, it's just this.
I mean, it's a nice gaff, but
it's
as
horrible.
Vampires go, do you think. I like quite like that weird modern sort of.
No, I hate it. I
do like all glass fronted.
Yeah. No, I hate it.
Oh, I like it.
I hate modern architecture, especially, yeah, predominantly glass, hideous shit.
This is all going to be very difficult when we eventually live together.
What? What? That doesn't need to happen. The internet exists. Bella also comments on how light and open it is, which you would think vampires wouldn't want floor-to-ceiling windows throughout.
I know. But I mean, sunlight only makes them glitter, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I suppose.
Like, and they're not eating people that like in their house, so they've got nothing to hide, really.
Yeah.
Apart from the fact they never fucking sleep.
No. The vampires are attempting to make Italian food for her, but she's already eaten because she knows that they don't eat. So it's probably the funniest scene of the movie, actually.
Yeah.
They show, like, we're making you Italian. She's like, well, I've already eaten. It's like,
yeah.
Because you guys don't eat, so obviously I assume we weren't eating. And Rosalie's like, fuck's sake!
She's got
smashes
like
a
salad
bowl.
Bowl. She's like,
God damn it! And he's just like, well, it gives us an excuse to use the kitchen for the first time.
Apparently, it's not one of the ones I was going to use later on, but when they filmed that scene the first time, she actually cut her hand on the bowl, and that's why she's wearing gloves in this scene.
Oh. That would have to be the worst thing about being a vampire, though, is you can't eat actual food.
Yeah.
I'd miss, like, you know, pizza and...
Have you ever seen, like, What We Do in the Shadows? Oh, their version is they just vomit.
I can't eat my favourite food! Chips! He froze up after eating his fries. It's just... Yeah, that's hilarious. Yeah, that would be the worst bit. Just like, oh, can't have a chicken McNuggets, nothing.
Especially if you're trying to, like, hang around with normal people as well, like, to sort of blend in and everyone's, like, eating Chinese and stuff. Like,
here, try the smoked salmon. Oh, damn it. God damn it. And they're all there, the Cullens, including Jasper, the world's weirdest looking man, who still looks like he's just sharted. And it is also revealed that Edward doesn't sleep.
Yes.
Okay.
And the reason Jasper always looks like he's constipated, apparently, is because he's the newest vegetarian.
Yes.
He's so only recently converted.
Yes, he's used to...
I don't know, recently could be in 50 years.
Tearing people apart. And then Edward gives her another piggyback ride as he leaps through the trees and they're on top of a tree and they kiss and it's all this sort of montage. And then we get some shots of Edward playing the piano while Bella watches him from the chaise lounge with more demented camera angles. What is going on in this scene? It's like the world's worst music video.
Exactly that as well. Like kind of spins around.
It's like something from like the early 90s, like a Michael Bolton thing. It's like, what the fuck is this?
How am I supposed to live without you?
We then see, we then cut to the other group of vampires, and they're observing the police who are looking for the animal. Then we cut away. The next day, Bella arrives at the diner, and Mike greets her in the car park. Mike, remember Mike from high school?
Yep.
And he says, "So you and Cullen, huh? Yeah, I don't like it."
So you need to pack that in.
Yeah, he's straight to the point. He's just like, I don't like him. So anyway, she ignores this and she goes in and meets her father because her father can't cook. Have you noticed that they only eat at the diner?
Yeah.
They never eat in his house because he doesn't know how to cook.
Yeah, literally. There's at one point she walks in and cleans up his plate or something, but even on that plate is like pizza.
He mentions that her father, this is the police chief, he mentions to the other people in the diner that all they found whilst looking for the animal was a bare human footprint.
Yeah.
So are these other vampires barefoot?
Yes, apparently
so. I didn't notice that.
Yeah, apparently they are barefoot.
Weird. That's weird. What? But they're wearing other clothes.
Yep, not shoes.
That's fucking weird. Also, I did not notice that they were barefoot at any point in the film.
Yeah, that's the only time I noticed it, but apparently it is a thing. Like, yeah, when she's running... Because she also, while she's running through the forest or whatever where they find the tracks, there's like just one neatly piled up bit of mud that she manages to land in to leave a perfect footprint in. Like, none of the rest of the ground looks like this.
Okay. And all the while this is happening, Mike is outside humping and dancing with a tree.
Yep.
That's...
He's such a card.
I think they're quite funny. Like, you're definitely thinking, yeah, Bella, these are the people you should be hanging out with as a teenager. You should be hanging out with goofy weirdos, not a creepy 108-year-old sex pest.
But she thinks she's better than them. That's the problem.
That is the problem. Yeah. That night, Bella makes another phone call to her mother. And while on the phone, Edward just appears in her room, which is fucking rude. He snuck in the window and it reveals that he's been doing it for the past couple of months.
Yeah.
And watching her sleep.
She was like, oh, I dreamed about him. No, you didn't. He was there.
Yeah.
Because I like watching you sleep.
And have been for the last couple of months. Like, I only moved here like 3 weeks ago. What the fuck? What the actual fuck?
I was watching you in Phoenix.
Anyway, they kiss, but also he wants to eat her. It's kind of spicy.
Well, yeah, they lean in for this kiss that takes so long.
So, yeah, I because I found this film quite boring. So, whilst watching it, I adjusted the speed and watched it at, like, I think 1.2 the speed or 1.5.
Oh, wow.
And even in this scene, I was like, why are they taking so long to kiss?
Yeah. It's like just this, I think it's supposed to be like a sexual tension or whatever, but I was just like, come on. Like, it's far too long.
They then spend the night talking and she falls asleep on him. And remember, Edward doesn't sleep, so he has to just lie there like when you've got a cat on you.
God, my back! It is like that, like when your girlfriend falls asleep on your arm, you have to wait until she's fully asleep so you can do that like roll so you get your arm back. But he's like just never asleep.
Then the establishing shot kind of indicates that this is the next morning, but her dad is cleaning guns and drinking beer. Maybe
Texas.
It is.
Maybe, Washington.
Maybe it is 9 a.m. I don't know.
Yeah.
And Bella tells her dad that she's dating Edward, and he says, "He's a little old for you, isn't he?"
Like, yeah, he's 108. Yeah.
And she's like, no, he's a junior and I'm a junior and he's just, he's 108.
Yeah, her dad knows.
Yeah, I think he might know, yeah.
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 I get the impression.
Because he's friends with the doctor, isn't he?
Dr. Cullen, yeah.
Yeah, I reckon he knows. Anyway, she brings Edward to meet her dear old dad. And he informs Daddy-O that him and Bella are going to play baseball with the rest of the Cullens. All right, here we go. It turns out the Cullens are super into baseball, but they can only play when there's a thunderstorm, for reasons we'll find in a minute.
Yeah.
Oh, and Bella is not really playing. She's the umpire, because remember, Bella sucks at sports.
Yeah.
Yes. So, Supermassive Black Hole by Mew starts playing. And it turns out the reason is that they play baseball during thunderstorms is because they make so much noise when they hit the ball with the bat with their mighty vampire strength, so people will think it's thunderclaps.
Yes.
And Rosalie is still hating Bella. She's there as well.
Oh, yeah, she's not keen.
So, yeah, they play this, you know, baseball game where they hit the ball really far and they run really fast and it's kind of, all right, whatever.
Nah.
It is a bit like, why is this here? Just to establish that the Cullens like baseball.
And they're like baseball and they're super powerful or something. Yeah. Like, yeah, it's fucking...
But the fun is ruined when the other vampires show up. Yep. It's this group of three. There's two dudes and a lady. And it's like they all dress like rock stars or like something out of an Anne Rice novel. It turns out this is the first time they're actually meeting. And Carlisle points out that their hunting activities have caused something of a mess for them.
Yeah.
The other vampires apologize and state that they were merely passing through. And they ask to join in on the game, which seems nice.
Mm.
However...
Apparently baseball is big amongst vampires.
Yeah, fucking love it. However, one of them, this one called James, he smells Bella.
A terrible BO is causing issues again.
He figures out it's a human and it all kicks off. And by kicks off, I mean they all hiss at each other.
Yeah. Like two cats in an alleyway. Not actually going to do anything.
No. So the other vampires, they agree to leave, and then Edward races Bella the fuck out of there.
Yep.
Edward explains that he read James's mind, and that James is a tracker and a hunter, and he's never going to stop until he catches Bella. So they have to kill him, rip him apart, and burn the pieces.
Apparently so.
Fuck.
Yeah.
I thought we were just going to play ball. Yeah. Things escalated quickly.
It just seems like a lot.
Edward wants to take her to Vancouver, but she wants to be taken home because James will be led back to her house where her dad is.
Yeah.
Right? So they arrive back at her dad's. And also, she's dumped Edward, by the way, but it's a ruse.
This whole thing doesn't make any sense. So the plan is to go back to her dad's house.
Yeah.
And not take him with them, to keep him safe.
No.
They're going to go there and she's going to tell him she's leaving because she's had a row with Edward. How does that keep... If James just wants to turn up and kill her dad anyway, he's not going to be like, oh, well, Bella's not here, so, you know. So it's just it's another human.
They arrive back and she pretends to break up with Edward.
Mm.
And because of this, she's, quote, so upset that she just has to leave town immediately.
Yeah.
And then she also has to kind of dump her dad and be really mean to him, being like, I don't like living here. I'm going to live with Mom in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Just so she has an excuse to leave immediately.
Makes no sense.
And James overhears all of this and he kind of falls for it, like, ah, she's heading away.
Yeah. He's like, ah, her poor dad. I'm not going to kill him.
Yeah. But also, it's really, Jesus. If he's close enough to hear it, he might just go in and kill them all.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. None of it makes sense. It's a really poorly thought out, scene.
Yeah.
And apparently, she says, the last thing she says to her dad or something is like the same thing her mum. She goes, I said the same thing to him that my mum said when she left. But what she said was, otherwise I'll be stuck here like mum. Why would her mum say that?
Maybe her dad used to date her mum's mum.
Yeah, exactly. She's got to just go working through the family.
Fuck knows. So they drive out of town and Emma and Alice Cullen are also following Edward and Bella. As she's leaving town, she sees Eric, Mike and the rest of the gang leaving a cafe and having fun and probably thinking, is this guy worth it?
Yeah,
I could be hanging out with Mike and watching him hump a tree. Or Eric, get a boner over nothing.
But they're all over there, we have so much fun when Bella's not around. She is fucking miserable. Didn't you think?
They stop off at the Cullen house, and one of the other vampires, the black one with the dreads, he's there to warn the others about how dangerous James and his girlfriend Victoria are.
Yeah.
The Cullen family then suit up to take down James. Alice and Jasper are going to drive Bella south. And then the rest of them are going to try and distract James off into the wilderness. Rosalie is not impressed by any of this, and I don't blame her.
No.
She's just like, are you fucking serious? We could all be killed.
Yeah, this is a lot of effort.
This girl has been dating a week.
Yeah, and this miserable bin. Yeah, just turned up. And now we're all fucking like fighting for her life.
So, who is it? Alice and Jasper. They drive Bella all the way back to Phoenix really quickly.
Yeah.
By the way, Phoenix is 1,500 miles from Forks, Washington, and it's a 24-hour drive. But they're there like...
They get there in 5 hours.
Like 5 minutes, Because yeah. Whilst they... Anyway, they arrive in Phoenix, and the Cullens are still, like, just outside the house in the woods. So it's like...
Oh, yeah, is that the bit... Like, yeah, they arrive, and then there's the bit where they're running through the woods, and they're like, Rosalie, rub yourself up against that tree.
Oh, yeah, because they've given Bella's clothes to Rosalie and the others, so he follows the scent.
Yeah.
Right, okay. While James is chasing the others, he realizes he's been tricked somehow. So he turns around. Alice knows this because she can see the future.
The
present.
She can see what's happening right now, but not in the room. Like, yeah, that again, that's fucking stupid.
Yeah, she also has visions of a ballet school, which is there in Phoenix. And it's where Bella used to take lessons, okay? Then Bella gets a call from her mum. It turns out Bella's dad called her mum worried after she took off. So her mum went back to their house in Phoenix, which is about a 30-hour drive from Jacksonville, Florida, by the way.
Yeah.
But Victoria found Bella's old address at the school. So now James and Victoria are at her mum's house. Got it?
Yeah.
Right.
But that.
James is basically holding mum hostage in exchange for Bella. And he says... Meet me at your old ballet school. Which is weird.
Yeah, I know. Where has that come from?
What the fuck? Why not just meet me at the house?
Yeah.
I'm here already.
House, yeah.
No, let's do it in this specific... Why?
Yeah, he's specifically... Doesn't even know that she used to do ballet.
I know he does.
How does he know?
Well, you find out in a minute.
Oh.
But yeah, it's very weirdly specific that... Yeah. It's like, why did I just say the house?
The places, yeah.
Or I'll come to you.
Yeah.
Tell me where you are. No, meet me at your old ballet school.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, seems a bit specific. Must be for some particular reason. Spoilers, it isn't.
No.
Anyway.
I just want to try on the shoes.
Yeah. Cue voiceover again. I've never given much thought to how I'd die. It's the same one from the beginning.
Yeah.
So, Bella ditches Alice and Jasper and heads over to the ballet school where with her pepper spray, right?
Yeah, and that's it.
Surely when Alice and Jasper realize she's gone, they'll just follow her easily because she smells.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
They can all smell her.
Yeah. So she's just like, oh, she's just gone like five blocks down the road. There. Yeah.
She's gone to ballet?
So Bella arrives at the ballet school, and it turns out James has set up a TV to play old home movies of Bella, which just seems a bit over the top. He doesn't even know her. This isn't Batman and Joker levels of rivalry. But he's gone to all this like effort. Like, my arch nemesis has arrived. Finally, I have you where I've always wanted you. It's like, you met yesterday. This makes no sense.
And apparently these are the videos. Like, the mum was never there. So the conversation over the phone was these recordings, which makes no sense.
Oh, I thought it was Victoria putting on a voice.
Oh, I assumed that they'd used the recording. Why her mum on the phone when she talks to her just goes, Bella, Bella. Bella!
I don't know. I wasn't paying that much attention.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that, yeah. It makes no sense whatsoever, but I'm pretty sure that, we fooled you. You were speaking to this recording. That's why you wondered why your mum was telling you to blow out the candles.
Also, because this is a ballet school, so obviously either side of the walls are lined with mirrors.
Yeah.
This confuses Bella so much. Like it's a house of mirrors. But it's just a dance hall. It's obviously which one is James. He's the one stood in the middle of the fucking room.
And they do that whole unnecessary where he keeps, like, you see different reflections of him all turning.
Bella, Bella, Bella. Just Bella. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, it's so stupid.
It's just a ballet school. It's not some fun house. Christ.
That's why I know there's never any ballet lessons there. Because like, it's a weird place with too many mirrors.
Also, James remarks while the video is playing that this is his favourite part, which implies that he had time to sit down and watch all of them at some point.
Yeah.
When? I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe she took ages to get there and he was bored.
Well, it took a day. Fuck no. And then he yeah, it's like he. This whole thing is so stupid because it's made out like he knows her in and out, and
yeah,
like but they've literally he knows nothing about her. They've just no, fucking
they met yesterday.
Yeah, but yeah. It's like I said, it's portrayed as some kind of great rivalry, like Batman and Joker or something. Like,
yeah, so stupid.
Who the fuck is this guy? We just met him.
As he can tell you, he goes, "I brought something from your home," and gets out this little camcorder. It's like, oh. We're making a sex tape.
Snuff movie. Jane's toys with Bella all while he's filming her. But then Edward arrives, but Bella is bleeding from the hand, which proves to be something of a distraction. But anyway, him and James fight.
James has broken her leg at this point as well.
Yes, and she's one just cut leans her on her hand.
Leg. Yeah.
Edward has shown up on his own, and this is explained away by mentioning that he's faster than the others, even though Alice and Jasper are just down the road, but whatever. During the fight, James takes a bite out of Bella, but just like a little bit.
Yeah.
Just like a nibble.
Just like a love bite on her arm or something.
Yeah. And then Edward takes a bite out of James. And then the rest of the Cullens show up and Carlisle stops him from killing James just so that Emmett and Jasper can kill him.
Yeah, I know. This
and they do.
Carlisle turns to him because remember who you are. And he's like, yeah, you're right. And then they're like, good.
Leave it to these guys. Yeah. They literally snap his head and burn him.
For the rest of
a fire in the ballet school.
For the rest of this scene, they're dancing around a fire. Like, yeah,
and literally
weird.
Throwing James's limbs into this pit of fire.
It's like something out of things you do in the shadow. It's like just this weird thing in the background. Like, honestly, watch that scene and just pay attention to what's on in the background. It's so weird.
While that's going on, Bella is in trouble and she's bleeding to death. Plus, she's got the venom from James's bite. So they can either let her turn into a vampire or Edward can suck out the venom, but he thinks he won't be able to stop sucking and kill her.
Because he's been doing that for this entire film.
For 108 years.
Yeah.
This is a bit of a dilemma. I don't really understand why they just don't get Carlisle to do it, because it's mentioned before that Carlisle does have the ability to restrain himself from taking a life whilst drinking some blood.
I don't know.
That's how he turns all of the other Cullens.
Yeah, this does.
And Carlisle is there. It's like, you do it. It's like, this is your thing. Like, really?
This does seem like a bad time for like a learning experience. Like, you've got to learn sometime. Bella's like.
So he does. He tries to suck the poison out, but yeah, he can't stop. And Bella goes cross-eyed. Yeah. At one point.
Fucking absolutely killed me.
Literally goes like, oh! But then he does. He finds the will to stop sucking. And a bit later, she wakes up in hospital. Her mum is there, and she's fine. And Edward, who never sleeps, is sleeping in the corner of the room.
Yeah.
Her mum has been told that, this is fucking hilarious, Bella broke her leg falling down the stairs, and also went through a window.
How? This is the most implausible cover-up story ever. First of all, anyone who told any like member of anyone's family this story, they'd be going like, like what? So basically, he says like Dr. Cullen and Ed like followed you to that hotel, and then while they was telling you to come back, you tripped and fell down the stairs
and went then through a window.
Fell through a window.
How? Did I bounce at the bottom of the staircase, like 5 feet in the air, and then go through a window? It doesn't make any sense.
And she's so entrenched in this toxic, violent relationship that she's like, sounds like me. I'm a poopy bitch.
Yeah. Oh, and also it's briefly mentioned that Victoria, she ran off.
Yeah, I know. she's done nothing in this film, Victoria. And like now she's gone anyway.
Once Mum fucks off, Edward tells Bella that she needs to go back to Jacksonville so he can't hurt her anymore. Bella does not take this well, so Edward is kind of like, okay, I'll take it back.
Yeah. Okay, well,
yeah, fine, whatever.
I'll send you then, if that's what you want. Yeah. Remember, you wanted this.
We then cut back to Washington, and Edward and Bella are going to prom with Bella in a boot. That's in the surgical.
Big old leg cast.
Yeah, it's a leg cast thing. Edward says to Bella's dad, I'll take care of her. And her dad's like, heard that one before. He's right.
Yeah.
Remember last time? She ended up in hospital.
Yeah, when she fell through a window.
Yeah, after falling down the stairs.
When she tripped down the stairs.
Outside prom, while Bella is waiting for Edward to park the car, Jacob shows up for some reason. Yeah. He doesn't even go here.
Skulks out of the woods.
Yeah, and, in a tie.
Yeah, and he's like, my dad says you have to break up with Edward. What?
Well, look, that's not even the weirdest bit. Apparently, his dad paid him to say this. His dad has paid him to go and talk to Bella to say that you should break up with your boyfriend. And quote, we'll be watching you.
If this was the only film that existed in this whole like franchise, you'd be like, why is there's no Team Jacob here? Jacob just shows up every now and again.
Yeah, it's totally fucking weird. Especially like, you would, I mean, it sounds really threatening, like, we'll be watching you.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, that's kind of weird.
Yeah,
Dad, your friend paid his son money to threaten me. What's that about? They're like, it's like, Billy Black's like a family friend.
Yeah.
You instantly be like, oh, what the fuck?
He told me to say, we'll be watching you.
Yeah. Like, what? But Bella kind of goes, ha ha ha.
Yeah. Oh, you.
That's too.
Oh, yeah, it's too much.
Too much. For,
you.
Too much for Chris and Stuart. Okay. Edward arrives and him and Jacob exchange looks.
Yeah.
So anyway, they go into the prom. Bella hates it, but Edward says that prom is an important rite of passage. This is my 20th one.
Yeah, I've been to so many. Yeah.
It does look like the lamest prom.
Yeah.
Like, it does look terrible.
It's like someone's house.
Yeah. And then they have a slow dance. This is outside without anyone else there. They have a slow dance and Bella tells Edward that she wants to be a vampire so she can be with him forever. And he's hesitant, as you would be. He's like, forever?
Yeah.
He doesn't turn her. Smart move.
Yeah. He's like, I much prefer the idea that you might die at some point.
I'm not really into, like, you know, serious relationships.
I can't really be tied down.
Yeah. And just before the movie
like
ends,
free spirit.
Just before the movie ends, it is revealed that Victoria, remember her?
Yeah.
She is actually there and she's watching them, and then it just ends.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. What did you think?
I jot it down quickly. Well, basically, this whole film is about toxic relationships, gaslighting, and Stockholm Syndrome.
Yes.
It's entirely what that is. Yeah, this film is...
For me, is the dialogue is so bad. I know like, Kristen Stewart and Patterson get a lot of shit for their performances in this film, especially Kristen Stewart. Yeah. But honestly, I think they did the best with what they had. The dialogue is
fucking
horrendous. Like, the script is appalling.
The plot's awful. I don't know why this is such a huge thing. Like,
because it's sexy vampire time.
But I mean, even...
I mean, yeah, this is like a 14-year-old girl's kind of fan fiction.
But
this is the kind of shit that little girls write.
Yeah.
Write, like, you know, in a notebook they keep under their bed.
But surely it comes across to me as like, even too fucking saccharine and dumb for a 14-year-old girl. Like, it just... I don't get it.
I don't know how
just
little
like,
girls
all
think.
All of it's awful. I just don't think it's... I think it's awful. I think it's, like, just so bad.
Thing is, it was so bad, but when it ended, I was like, I kind of think... I feel like I need to see the second one.
Did you?
Yeah.
I did not. I don't know if I've seen
the
second
one. I want to see how bad it gets. Because apparently, this is the best one.
Really?
Someone said, like, there, yeah, it's all downhill from there. Like, wow. Downhill? It didn't start at the top.
No, yeah. I mean, yeah, that can't be. I mean, like, again, I've never read the books or stuff, so I don't know. Like, I quite often find that when you, these books that these are based on, when you get around to reading them, they're not very well written.
No.
Like, it's purely, like, the author's been lucky enough to kind of hit the right vein at
yeah,
the right
basically.
Time.
Yeah, yeah. I'll give it, it has like this kind of, the color grading throughout the whole film. They've tried to kind of sap the color out of it to make it look, you know, like this, Washington doesn't actually look like that.
Yeah.
It's the green is actually green. But they've made an effort to kind of, from like a cinematographer point of view, I guess, to make it look like sun does not exist here.
Yeah.
And I can kind of appreciate that, but I can't appreciate the wacky camera work as it flies around. There's one bit, I can't remember what the scene is, but it literally looks as if they just strapped cameras to like ropes and swung them from trees back and forth. Like, what is going on?
Yeah,
script is awful. Dialogue is fucking appalling. And the acting is pretty bad.
Yep.
Yeah. It's pretty shit.
I got, when I was looking for stuff, the top review on IMDb of this was like, just caught my eye, made me laugh, so I wrote it down. It just says, I think this movie suffered from a lack of good script and bad acting. But, yes.
That's it, in a nutshell. Did you find any trivia?
I did. So, Robin Pattinson had never heard of the Twilight novel when he signed on to do this. He only went to the casting because his agent persuaded him to, and he really liked Kristen Stewart's performance in Into the Wild. Now, I don't remember her being in Into the Wild.
Into the Wild?
Yeah, it's a good film. It's a great film. But it's about that guy who goes off
into... Oh, yeah.
It's been a while since I've seen it.
Mm.
Right, a few weeks before filming, Pattinson didn't talk to anyone at all to try and feel isolated like Eddie Cullen.
Okay.
But yeah,
I heard he only took it for money. He was skint at the time.
Yeah, apparently that as well. It's probably the most interesting one I could find. There wasn't a lot, to be honest. Stephanie Meyer's first choice to play Edward was Henry Cavill. But by the time production began, he was 25 years old and no longer looked the part for a 17-year-old. But neither does Pattinson.
How old was Pattinson in this?
I didn't look, but I think he must have been like in his 20s. I know Anna Kendrick was 23. I checked.
I think Pattinson's the same age as me. I got a horrible feeling this really successful guy is the same age as me. Oh, no, he's a couple of years older than me. He was 22.
22.
Yeah.
So, but he still doesn't look 17.
No, he looks 22.
yeah, that was it.
Oh, comments.
Mm.
Your comments, people. Don't forget to go and check us out, or you can just follow us on Instagram if you want to add your... You know, we post what film we're going to do next and ask for your comments. If you want to add yours, you can find us there and keep an eye out for the stories we post there. Let's take a look. This is on Instagram. Laurie_Olivia. So bad it's kind of good. Also, Team Edward or Jacob? Lol. Well, we've only seen the first one.
Yeah, there is no Team Jacob in the first one.
But I'm still Team Jacob because Edward's a fucking dickhead.
Not in it very much.
Yeah, also, Edward's a fucking dickhead. Alexandra Davies, we know her.
Mm-hmm.
I'm too scared to tell you how much I loved it. My little slice of hell. Absolutely shite. It's just shite. Brandy Pink Disco Ball says, the hatred Robert Pattinson had for this movie made some of the best interviews of our time. Yeah, he wasn't very good at selling it, was he? Towards the end of the franchise, you can sort of, in promos, he just sit there like, And Stark 2490 says, seen once, suffering from allergies, didn't like what I was seeing / hearing, not a nice experience. He was delirious.
I got Luke Meadows. Necrophilia or bestiality? We've all struggled with that dilemma at some point. Emily Whittingham. It's twice shite.
Hooray.
Izzy Grace. I mean, it's shit, but I love it. Read the books. No shame. The side characters have a more interesting story than the main characters. TV series on them, please. Hannah Lown, I considered ending a friendship after a friend made me watch the first one. She was convinced I would enjoy it. I did not. I lasted 1 hour. Our friendship still suffers. Okay. Sammy Jane, personally, I'm a fan. Love this series. What's not to love about vampires and werewolves?
Yeah, when done right.
Liz Palmer, I'm just mega basic and I fucking loved it. The second one was trash though. Then third and fourth part one and two picked up. Books are fantastic. Sparkling is just fucking ridiculous. Fun movie for a drinking game. Just drink whenever anything seems awkward or Bella touches her hair. And then Eves Tam, we appreciate your sacrifice for watching it, I guess.
Cool.
Mm.
All right. Thank you very much. That was that. This was the episode. Hope you enjoyed it. If you're still here, like and comment and share and subscribe if you're listening or watching wherever you're doing that. That would be nice. You can check out Mrs. Smith here on whatever you want. Instagram. Oh,
Instagram, Lee Smith Comedy. YouTube, the same, I think. TikTok, the same. When is this going out?
A couple of weeks. I don't know.
Is it? I've got the semi-finals of the Leicester Square Theatre New Comedian Competition on the 18th of November. If that has already gone by the time this comes out, doesn't matter. if it hasn't and you fancy going, I think you can get tickets from the Museum of Comedy website.
Cool. And you can find me on stuff if you just typed in Finn Hamilton. Nothing specific. TikTok, probably your best option for hilarious content from me. Cool, that's it. Thank you very much, and we shall see you next time.
Bye.
Well, thank you all for coming here tonight and drinking all of my booze. Oh, really. Please leave. The party's over. Get out.